Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single day. Lilei Nishmas Rabbi Mori Erev Hillel B'Meir Yechiel Mechel, and of course, the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker. We are in Yishayahu Perek Tezayin, and the Nevuah concerning the total destruction of Moab continues as where we left off yesterday. Now, Yishayahu had described how they were going to be deserving and what they were going to be deserving of these people of Moab. And now he makes reference to an earlier time when Moab was dominated by Ahav and other Malchei Yisrael, the kings of the 10 tribes, whom they would send tributes of sheep and wool. But once Ahav died, Moab decided to stop paying off. So Moab's destruction gets brought about by Sancheirib, who conquered the vast majority of the world, including Malchus Yisrael. The only sovereignty that Sancheirib wasn't able to conquer was Malchus Yehuda, led by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and that, as you know quite well, because Yishayahu has now referenced it quite a number of times in these first 16 parakim, standing before the gates of Yerushalayim, the army just gets wiped out on one particular night. Now, Yishayahu offers a nevuah, as if talking to Moab, that Moab could have been saved by Sancheirib only if they would have recognized Malchus Yehuda. Now, they sent Malchus Yehuda their taxes, and they allied themselves with them, set with the Malchus Yehuda, as a superior, as a subservient group paying Malchus Yehuda instead of the Malchus Yisrael, they would have been able to be spared. And that's what he says, Shulchu Karmo Shel Eretz Miselem Midbar El Harbas Zion. What you should have done is you should have transferred to the Beis HaMikdash where the Malchus Yehuda was based. Yishayahu said, look, if you would have transferred the power from Moab to Yisrael, from the town of Sela in the desert, where it got picked up by the representatives of the Jewish kings, he said, pay it off to the Bas Zion, not to the northern kingdom, if you want to be protected. But they didn't do it. And Moab got, and therefore they fall prey to Sancheirib, just like the Malchus Yisrael did as well. And he says, that's what's going to happen. The population of Moab is going to be taken by its nest, by the daughters of Moab, the Benos Moab, and the shallow points, and as they're trying to escape the Assyrians, the entire population of these tiny little towns and villages fled across shallow crossing parts of the Arnon, and so the towns become crossings of the river. And Yishayahu offers Nevuah about another historic mistake that Moab made. He's going to tell Moab that they could have been saved if they would have been compassionate to the Jews who were also going to be running away from Sancheirib's armies in the future. If Moab would have taken care of them, they would have been saved when they needed to be taken care of. And so therefore, he gives them advice. And what does he say to them in Pasuk Gimel? He says, Habi Eitza, Asu Plilia, Shisi Kalil Tzilech, B'toch Tzarayim. He says, bring together a plan, do justice, make shade as the night in the midst of the bright day. He says, Satri Nidachim, hide the fugitives. And Odeid Al Tigali, don't reveal somebody who's running away. He says, hide the Jews who are running away during the daylight. Cover them with a blanket of secrecy. Never reveal the hiding places of refugees. And Yishayahu then in the prophecy looks ahead to the time when Sancheirib and the Assyrians would be destroyed. And he tells Moab, listen, let my people find refuge in your country. Hide them and protect them. Your asylum is going to be needed only for a short while because Sancheirib is going to collapse. And within the sarcastic advice, it's apparent that Moab didn't just the opposite. They will not offer the asylum. They will not hide the Jews. They're going to hand them over directly. And it won't make a difference because Ashur is going to obliterate Moab either way. So Yishayahu then looks ahead to the time after the destruction of Sancheirib, when he was hoping that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was going to become Mashiach. And that would be a different kind of throne. One that never was there before, based on Chesed and based on Emes. And the house of Beis David would be one that would be permanent, forever. And that king would be Mehir Tzedek, he refers to. He was going to be somebody who's going to implement righteous ruling. So Yishayahu reserves these titles for Chizkiyahu, who could have been Mashiach. And he tells the people of Moab, if you would have been smart, you would have been subservient to this person and this type of Malchus. And that would have been an Arichas Ner Leven Yishai Mashiachecha. Of course, all this was said sarcastically because they're never going to become part of Malchus Yehuda. Right? So Yishayahu says, history is going to show your pride was without any purpose. And you guys who didn't want to help the Jews, you're going to turn to be incapable of taking care of yourself. And all of these statements of pride were a facade. Lokein, they're going to be badad, they're going to be empty and nothing. And so the Nabi says, since the suggestion to save Moab was a hypothetical, there's no way to save it, Moab is doomed. The people are going to cry for Moab. They're going to understand its destruction was its own fault. They're going to bemoan the total destruction of Kir Hareshes, their primary metropolis. And the only ones who are going to cry over the destruction are going to be the cripples. The armies just left the cripples alone, but only the severely maimed were left alive to moan. And the cities of Sibma and Yazer, which were known for lush orchards and vineyards, they were destroyed, obviously. And the fields of Cheshbon, etc., the tattered remains in the military and surviving population, they're going to run away. And as they reach Yazir, they're going to wander aimlessly in the desert, and the exiles, having spread out, will never return. Even the Navi starts to cry, right? Al-Kain b'evke b'b'chi Yazir Geffen. I'm going to cry over the situation, says Yishayahu, for the catastrophe which struck the formerly great cities. And he cries over the widespread devastation of the cities and the countryside. He cries over the ripened produce that doesn't have an ability to get anywhere because it gets abandoned as the hordes run through over the countryside screaming, "Hey, Dad, hey, Dad," right? In good times, farmers would go out and dance in fields and vineyards to sing joyfully over the success of the crop. And now God, Hashem was going to get rid of this situation. And he talks about how his emotions are hurting, his kishkas hurt him. Right? Yishayahu is the one who says, "May I," and Kirby, they're all in pain and sadness over this situation. And he says that he's in such pain. Now, the reason why Yishayahu has such deep feelings of sadness over the destruction of Moab, it has to be understood, and Rabbi Schwab offers the perspective that the Jewish people's relationship with Moab goes all the way back to Lot, and given the historic attachment to the Jewish people and the proximity of the land, it was the hope that Moab would be the first nation to see the truth and accept the Torah as it pertains to non-Jews, and to make an alliance with the Jewish people, and instead Moab chose to become a bitter enemy of the Jewish people, causing them great harm. And so the anti-Am Yisrael direction, which it took, was a disappointment. And the destruction was a cause for a potential never fulfilled, for a deep sadness. And that nation from whom Jewish kings and Mashiach come from, after all, Rus was from Moab. It could have been a great ally to the Jewish people, but instead it turned into an enemy, which caused its destruction. And so therefore, he concludes his nevuah about Moab in the following manner. Vayaki nireaki nila Moab alabama. This is when it would come apparent that Moab is wearied upon the high place. Uvoil mikdasha lispal below yuchal is going to come to the sanctuary to pray, right? When it becomes obvious that Moab had futilely exhausted itself on the battlefield, right? Those remaining rush to the temples to cry and pray. But all their efforts at war and sacrifice are going to be for no purpose because Moab is going to be destroyed. Yishayahu says that destruction was ordained by Hashem long before from then. Its fate was sealed long before Yishayahu's lifetime. It went back to the time when they hired, says Rashi, Balak hires Bilam to curse the Jewish people, and Hashem had promised, "Umekalelcha or," that those who curse you, I will curse. And Yishayahu concludes the nevuah by saying that that destruction is imminent. Hashem says, in 3 years, like the years of a hired worker, the honor of Moab will become light with all of its large multitude, and that which remains is less than little without power. Rashi, quoting the Seder Olam, says 3 years correspond to the 3 years that Moab assisted Sancheiriv. Moab subjected itself to Sancheiriv like a worker. And Yishayahu says that just like one who hires himself out doesn't stay with the employer 1 minute longer than necessary, Moab's destruction will be at the exact end. That there's going to be no power left. Moab will be left in the dustbin of history, and we know that that indeed turned out to be the case. We'll stop here and wish everyone a great day and a wonderful Shabbos. Everybody have a great Shabbos.